Nearly every summer, the bottom waters of Lake Erie's central and western basins lose so much oxygen that fish can't survive. While Lake Erie's so-called dead zone is expected to disappear this year as the weather cools, around the world, low oxygen waters are a growing problem, killing fish and changing local ecosystems. This year, government scientists from the U.S. and Canada have launched one of the largest probes ever of Lake Erie's dead zone. Mari Saito reports.
You want ice first?
No, I'll give it to us last. We'll throw it on top.
Joe Herr and his crew haul crates of iced yellow perch from the deck of his boat and onto the back of his son's SUV. Lake Erie has been the source of his family's livelihood for decades. This gray-bearded fisherman has had to find ways to catch fish in Lake Erie through good times and bad.
When I started fishing, it looked like coffee with cream in it. Back in the 50s and the 60s, it was really bad. But now it's blue, clear.
Almost too clear. On this Indian summer day, the lower layer of Lake Erie's central basin is hypoxic. That means the bottom few meters of water in much of the lake have extremely low levels of oxygen.
Strictly by the weather gets hot, the water gets trapped down below, stays ice cold, loses its oxygen, and fish just swim away from it.
Lake Erie's dead zone has been around for decades, but accumulations of agricultural runoff and excess sewage made the lake's hypoxia so dramatic. In the 1970s, the U.S. and Canada signed agreements to try to end it. Reductions of phosphates in laundry detergents and municipal water treatment plants have cut the amount of phosphorus going into Lake Erie by more than half. The dead zone seemed to improve, but recently scientists have found disturbing signs.
In the western part of the lake, we have these toxic and harmful algal blooms occurring more frequently, much like they did in the late 60s and early 70s.
Gerald Matizoff heads Case Western Reserve University's geology department.
In the central basin, we have low oxygen, much like we had during the late 60s and early 70s. And in the eastern part of the lake, not too much this year or last year, but certainly in the last few years, we've had significant outbreaks of avian botulism. Now, what we don't know is whether or not these are all related or whether they're all independent and they're all the result of simultaneous events that happen to be dominant in certain parts of the lake at the same time.
15 miles north of Cleveland, government scientists look for clues in Lake Erie's waters. They hoist a small metal crane onto the deck of their boat. The crane drops a couple of handfuls of mud from the lake bottom into a gray plastic tub. Two scientists dig through it, looking for life.
See anything?
Some kind of animal?
So there's the oxygen here, Scott, was 0.5 milligram per liter. It's pretty low.
Oxygen saturation of 0.5 milligram per liter of water is very low. Most fish can't survive anything below 2 milligrams. Stuart Lutzen is an ecologist with the Great Lakes Environmental Research Laboratory.
Part of what we're looking at, too, is how does insect larvae vary in areas of high and low oxygen. The expectation would be that during severe hypoxic or anoxic events, these organisms would die and be unavailable for food.
Lutzen believes studying the lake's food web may reveal clues. Researchers started to find low oxygen spots in Lake Erie in late June. Lutzen says the dead zone forced fish off the bottom, home to most of their prey.
They now are cut off from access to their necessary food and might be forced to live up in the water column to feed on maybe suboptimal prey like zooplankton, which might in turn lead to reduced growth. So those are kinds of things that we're going to try to get at.
Lutzen and his team use sonar and underwater sensors to analyze the lake's waters. But the best way to find what's avoiding Lake Erie's low oxygen depths is to cast a fishing net and see what comes up.
Okay.
After 10 minutes of trawling a large net, the scientists pull in their catch. They shake the flopping fish into a plastic bucket.
Oh. Four, a gross underestimate.
The fish will be measured, their stomach contents analyzed. Scientists hope all this work will help them understand the dead zone well enough to someday be able to forecast it, reduce it, and ultimately make predictions of its impact on Lake Erie's booming fish industry.
Mackerel fish.
White perch, yellow perch. Yeah, three perch, four perch.
Yeah.
We got here a little goby.
The goby fish and zebra mussels are among 170 types of invasive species in the Great Lakes. Shipping vessels are blamed for bringing transplants into these waters at a rate of more than one per year. Scientists are eager to understand how these new residents are impacting Lake Erie's dead zone. But answers to the lake's quandaries could mean new challenges. Researchers admit stopping the influx of invasive species and finding new places to cut pollution flow into Lake Erie would be difficult. Back at the dock, Joe Herr and his crew laugh when they hear people worrying about Lake Erie's dead zone. Lake Erie fisheries are more productive than all the other Great Lakes combined, and Herr has lasted nearly 50 years on Lake Erie because he has adapted to its changes. These days, he uses a depth finder to look for Lake Erie's dead zone and plans accordingly.
We know where it should be, so we go set our nets ahead of time and wait for it and herd the fish to us.
While the dead zone may help an old fisherman learn new tricks, Herr is carefully watching to make sure Lake Erie's ongoing changes don't negatively impact his daily catch. For Living on Earth, I'm Mari Saito at the southeastern edge of Lake Erie.
What's that? Talking about.